summer camp's coming up, teen camp coming up a week from tomorrow, and they'll be leaving out here a week from Monday. Then about 3 weeks after that be junior camp, and then 2 or 3 weeks after that's family camp. And so got a lot of camps going on, and then a week or so after that, school starts. Boy, that goes by fast, doesn't it? You can talk your summer away real quickly, and that's part of life, I guess. All right, I want to see if anybody can tell me this morning what I'm going to be preaching on. Somebody said it. Time. That is an hourglass. If it runs out before I get finished, I've taken too much of it. We're going to set it there and think about something that we all talk about, time. We all have it. We all use it. We kill it. We abuse it. And it's killing us. Somebody said, what are you doing today? I said, I'm killing time because it's killing me. I'm going to get back at it. But if you would take your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. And we'll read in verse number 14 down through a few verses here. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 14. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. This morning I want us to deal with the subject of... I first wrote down the title, Redeeming the Time. But the more I studied, the more I looked at some things, I changed it to, it's all about time. This morning, just for a little while, just for a short time, a little play on words there, just for a moment of this thing we call time that's engulfed in what we call eternity, I want to deal with this subject that is around us completely, totally, all the time. We find that it's important to us. Time is fleeting away. Life is short in respect to other things that we think about. We're going to look at the importance of time and how that we spend so much of it doing the things that we desire, and sometimes we just do not get things accomplished that we should. Brother Gallagher made mention this morning that we all have the same amount of time. We all have 24 hours a day, same amount of seconds per hour, same days per week, same weeks per year, and you can go on and build on that. But everything we do is connected with time. God is in His plan has put us in this little portion of space that we call time. Whether it's morning time or evening time, night time, springtime, summertime, wintertime, church time, supper time, it's about time. It's about everything. It's all about this thing called time. It's all the matter of what we do with it. Every book in the Bible except four has the word time in it. Years ago, Dr. Jack Hiles preached a message. It's entitled, What Are You Going to Do With Your Half Hour? Well, the Scripture says there's a time coming when the seventh seal, there's a silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. What will we do with our time? What do we do with our time? I'm afraid I'm guilty of wasting a lot of time. And then I come along and something's not done. I say, well, I just haven't had time. Well, in reality, I've had the time. I just haven't managed and used my time wisely. I just haven't been able to do what needs to be done because I have just used it somewhere else and have taken it wrongfully. Time is more than the clicks of a clock. Every one of us this morning probably have a watch on our wrist. We have a clock back there. We have an hourglass back here. Every time I see an hourglass, this is sort of off the subject, and believe me, I'm not making something to be said that you ought to go do this. I don't know if it's still on or not. But every time I see, some of you grinning, every time I see an hourglass, some of you probably think the same thing I do. As the sands of time, so are the what? Boy, I'm glad I'm not the only worldly person in here. It puts an age on some of us. But I bet if I've heard that statement once, I heard it 10,000 times when I was growing up, because my mom would not miss that show. I mean, this wasn't any way she was going to miss it. Didn't have recorders and things back then. If she'd probably recorded all of them. But as the sands of an hourglass, and it's true, so are the days of our lives. The days of our lives are fleeting by. They're going by very rapidly. I can remember my dad, as he was getting older, he would make the statement, and I didn't understand it because I felt like it took an eternity to go from one Christmas to the next Christmas. And he said, boy, it just hasn't been hardly any time since last Christmas was here. He said, the older I get, the faster the time goes. I said, now, Dad, 24 hours is 24 hours. He said, you'll understand what I mean someday. Well, I've been learning that here lately. It goes by very quickly. And the older we get, the faster it goes. The older we get in the time, the more that we have on us, the more we feel like that it's just fleeting by. And it is fleeting by, because it's like a vapor, just like our life is just for a moment, and then we pass away. The Bible talks of the process of time. In the process of time. The Bible talks about an appointed time. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. The Bible talks about a time to come. There is a time coming when these things are going to cease and they're going to fail. The Bible talks about past time, present time, and then future time. All that we have to deal with this morning in our lives is so intricately involved in this thing called time. These ticks of the clock and the turning of the calendar leaves are revealing to us that God has given to us this thing called time. I looked up the definition of time, the meaning of time, and it just, two or three different places, and time is an occasion. It's an opportunity. It's a season. This morning we have an opportunity to hear the Word of God. We have this time to hear God's Word. Another definition that I got says, time is a part of the measuring system to use to measure sequence events and to compare durations of events. How long does it take? How far do we go? How much does it take? All these things dealing with the thing of time. In the middle of infinity, in the middle of what we call eternity, God has put this little parenthesis that's called time. Now, God doesn't know time. God is timeless. But He has put us in this thing. God doesn't need clocks. God doesn't need calendars, because He is infinite. He is eternal. And He's timeless. So God He's not bound by what we are. We are bound by time. If I go to 12:30 tonight, I'll know this morning, I'll know we're bound by time. I'm not going to go that long, Lord willing. But if we come to realize that time is that which keeps us involved and keeps us measured and keeps us to the point of doing what needs to be done at a specific area of our life. This morning, God has given us a time to be here. Time measures. It measures a distance and a duration. I don't know the exact distance between here and Evansville, but I do know how long it takes. In a lot of the large cities, you don't ask somebody how far is it in miles. You ask them how long does it take to get from one point to another point, because it's all measured by time. It's that which is given to us. Time time moves. The hands of a clock and the sands of an hourglass, that thing is still going. I measured that one time. It's an hourglass down to the second. I don't know how they can do it that way, but down to the second, that is an hourglass. And as that sand moves through there, time is progressing, and what is gone, we can never return it. We can never get it back. It's already past. So we can talk about past time, because it goes by very quickly. What I said 5 seconds ago is past time. We have that which is beyond our control of calling back. No matter how fast we move, we can't outrun it. No matter how fast we go, time just keeps going. It doesn't matter how slowly we move, time goes on at its same speed. It's a constant, continuous countdown of the calendar. It's a constant, continual countdown of us headed toward eternity. And we're going to a place one day called eternity. We're going to spend somewhere in eternity. We're going to live somewhere forever. And time is going to put us there. And time is going to put us into that place that one day we'll either be with the Lord or we'll be outside of the grace of God. Because what we did not do with our opportunities, our appointments, our time, will make us have problems in eternity that's before us. Today was yesterday's tomorrow. And tomorrow it'd be yesterday. It never changes. It never stops. You see, for God is a God of timeless events, but yet He's put us in this thing that measures everything. We are gaining momentum. The year 2012 is already half over. It doesn't even seem like it should have been started very long. We look back on the calendar and it just seems as though when somebody says 2006, I think, well, that hadn't been that long ago, but that's been 6 years. I can remember when we were all in uproar, when it went from 1999 to 2000, we thought everything was going to blow up, be still, and die, and all that stuff. It doesn't seem like it's been 12 years ago, does it? It's been 12 years. And here we are. We're that much closer to a timeless eternity. We're that much closer to being where God has prepared for us, we that are saved. Children play along the ruins of civilizations that once were mighty. I mean, there are places where we just walk, no telling what has been before us. Turn back, if you would, to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 5. Or chapter 3, rather. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse number 10. Verse 10 of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says, I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in His time. Also He hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. You see, what God is maketh from the beginning to the end is this thing we're dealing with this morning of time. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all of his labor, it is the gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. God doeth it that men should fear before Him. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God required that which is past. Verse number 15 is an interesting verse. It tells us here, that which hath been is now. Have you ever heard the statement, there's nothing new under the sun? Now that's where that comes from. There is nothing new under the sun. For Solomon, the wisest of all men, God gave him the inspiration to write down verse 15, that which hath been is now. And then the next part of the verse is just as confusing sometimes in our thinking, and that which is to be hath already been. That which is in the future that we don't know about yet, God said, it's already been sometime, somewhere. And God requireth that which is past. Time moves, as we said, and it moves quickly. Kingdoms crumble and dynasties turn to dust, but God does not change. Men and women grow old and boys and girls become adults, and yet God remains the same. The meaning of time is that we are quickly watching it go by. The sand is accumulating down here in this bottom as it gradually runs out of the top, and sands of that hourglass are moving on. Just like if you look at your watch, it has moved from when we started. And we'll look a few minutes more and the time, the hands have moved again. And I have watched big clocks, and from a distance you can't tell them moving. But if you get up real close, you'll find every tick of that clock, that big hand will move just a little bit. It moves sometimes so small that we can't tell it, but yet if we look away for just a little while and look up, we've found that it's moved quite a distance. Sort of like our life. We're here today, and tomorrow we are old. That's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. That's why the Scripture says this, now, right now, is the accepted time. It's not tomorrow, because we may not be living tomorrow. Now, there will be a tomorrow. It may not be for us. I can't do anything about yesterday. Yesterday's gone, and I can't turn it back even if I flip that hourglass over. It doesn't change a thing about the past time. And so that's why it's important that we use, and as we read there a moment ago in our verse, that we should redeem the time and take care of that there in the book of Ephesians. The measure of time. God has measured out certain times for this earth. I personally believe that God has measured out 7,000 years from beginning to end, from time to the end of time. We're rapidly moving and rapidly going. And I believe that time will end just as suddenly as time began. When God said in the beginning, there was. And there comes a time that God's going to say, that's enough, and that'll be it. The Scripture talks about, in the book of Revelation, there talks about a time when there shall be time no more. There's a time coming. See, every time. How many times have I used the word time? We can't get away from it. And as time moves on, there's coming a place out there in the future where God says there will be no more time. No time to repent, no time to turn to God, no time to be better, no time to live better, no time to serve God. No, there's just time no more. And that's why we need to take care of the time that God has given to us. That's found in Revelation chapter 10, verse 6. There should be time no longer. The measurement of time is regulated by seconds and minutes and hours and days and weeks and months and decades and millennia. God has put a standard out there, and these are the ways that it is always there. Now, we're not always correct in our time. If we all look at our watch this morning, I guarantee you they won't say the same thing. Our times are different. Our times are set at different ways and different. Even the automatic clocks sometimes are not the same. But you can rest assured that God's measured out the time and it's perfect. You can be assured that what God has given to us, it is just exactly the way it should be. We operate this morning and we serve the way that we serve. We do what we do in accordance to the time that God has given to us. Some times are regulated. That's the seconds and the minutes and the hours. It's regulated. It's every day. Some times are relative. We talk about the length of a lifetime. The Scripture tells us that normally a person will live 70 years. That's 70 years. That's the length of an average lifetime that God has given in His Word. Sometimes people live shorter than that. Sometimes people live longer than that. And so those things are all relative. But in general, there's what God has given to us. And the days that we have are days that should be used as a believer, as a Christian, for the glory of the Lord. And the days that we have for an unbeliever is the day that we ought to come and understand that He is the one that gave His Son. Jesus died for us, and therefore we need to be saved today because this is the time God has given. It cannot be altered. It cannot be changed. For life is an occasion. Life has its opportunity. Life has its season. But one day the season and the opportunity and the time will be over. Who of us in here this morning cannot relate to the marking of time or the growing older? We grow older, and time certainly flies by. The Bible says in Psalm 37, David said, I have been young and now I'm old. David was recognizing the fleeting of time. He said, I was young at one time, but now I'm old. Somebody said the other day, said, boy, it doesn't seem like it's been any time since I was just a teenager. Time moves on. And we are marking our time. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 47, verse 9, and Jacob said to Pharaoh, the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. He marked his time. God told Noah, said, I'm going to give you 120 years. God marked the time. There, the continuation of verse 9 of Genesis 47 concerning those years says, few and evil have the days of the years of my life been. Job chapter 7 verse 6 says, the days, or my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, and they are spent without hope. Job said, my days are going by so rapidly, so quickly, that it's like a weaver that's making a cloth, and the shuttle goes in and pushes the yarn over and makes the rug or makes the clothes, whatever it is. The weaver shuttle is pushing it, and he says, as quick as it's going by, so does my life go by. James, as I said a moment ago, we know what shall be on tomorrow. We don't know what shall be on tomorrow, for what is your life? And then James compares it to fleeting time. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. It doesn't matter if we live to be 100 years old. When compared to eternity, that's just a vapor of time. We're here and we're gone. This past week, my wife's family had their family reunion. Every year I notice some things that are different. Time is taking a toll. And I'm sure they notice it on me also. But I was thinking the other day, as I was looking about some of these things on this message, I was thinking about when folks get together, sometimes we have the different groups. We have the older folks that are, they have lived their life and they're retired and they're doing pretty much what they want to do. And they're just they're sort of the patriarchs of the family. Then you have the next group that's the working class, and they're providing for their family and they're providing the needs of their own life. And then you have another group that is a little younger than them, and they're providing and working because they have children in the home, and they're trying their best to make sure everything is like it should be. And then you have that next group that's the little children, and they're just there enjoying their time. But as process of time goes on, this patriarchal group, they pass off the scene. And this next group becomes the patriarchs of the family. And the next group moves up, and the next group moves up. And then these little children, they're the young adults now. They're the ones that's having their children. They're the ones that's living. They're the ones that's working, and their children have taken over their position. It all comes about because of the marking of time that is upon all of us. And one day, if the Lord continues to give us this thing of time, we're going to move from one group to another. And one day we'll move out of here. That's why it's important to do something with the Lord right now. Because this is the only time you got any promise for. Could I ask you a question? Is there anyone in here this morning that could raise your hand and say, I'm 100% sure that I'll be here tomorrow? No. We can't do that because we don't have the promise of tomorrow. Yesterday doesn't matter now. But right now does matter. The only promise that we have out of God's Word is right now. The only thing that God has given to us that we can latch on to and know for sure is this very moment that we have. Therefore, that's why we need to make sure that we take care of our time. Someone wrote this many, many years ago. It's anonymous. Nobody knows who did it. It says, every morning you are handed 24 golden hours. They are one of the few things in this world that you get free of charge. If you had all the money in the world, you couldn't buy an extra hour. What will you do with this priceless treasure? It's a pretty good question. Doesn't matter how much we own, doesn't matter how much we have, you can't buy another hour. You can't buy another half hour. You can't buy another 10 seconds. I had a boss one time that I worked for. He was diagnosed with cancer. He's a very wealthy man. And he told me, he said, I would give every dime I've got if I could be assured of another year. But he couldn't spend his money for that because nobody could assure him of that. And he wasn't a Christian. And so this morning, we better learn not just the meaning of time and all these other things, but we better learn how to manage our time. We better learn how to redeem our time. We better learn to realize that time is a fleeting treasure that will never return to us. And what we do, we must do now while it passes through the hourglass. While it moves and while it goes on, this is the time. The Bible says there in Ephesians where we read to begin with, it tells us that we're to walk circumspectly. We're to walk exact or diligently. The Scripture says there that we are to give ourselves over to a diligent, great walk for God. And we are to remember the past. Spanish-born American philosopher and poet by the name of George Santayana, he made this comment. Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. If we do not remember our past mistakes, if we do not take in account of what has happened in the past, then somewhere in the future we will do the same thing. We're to learn from our mistakes. We're to learn from the past. I believe that's why history is important. As much as people hate history, you need to have history. As much as we hate it in our school system, said there's nothing new, no new thing under the sun, because that which has been will be. That which is out in the future has already been. So we need to learn to remember. We need to learn to resolve that we're going to serve the Lord and we're going to have something for God, not only in the future. I've heard people say so many times, I want to do this out here in the future. Well, do something now. Because we don't have a future. You realize that we don't have a promise of a future. There are some people that live their lives and work themselves to death and they have no future. How many folks I have known, how many people I've known that have worked and worked and worked in in order that they might have a time when they could just do nothing. And it cuts short right after they retire. Someone asked one of the fellows yesterday there at the family reunion, said, what are you doing since you retired? He said, absolutely nothing. I thought, boy, I don't know if I'd be happy doing that or not. Absolutely nothing. We need to have some time management that we use what God has given to us. That we would take it and we resolve that it's not the past that I worry about, it's not the future that I wonder about, but it's right now that I'm going to serve God. That it's right now that I'm going to do what the Lord would have me to do. Psalm number 90 and verse number 12 says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Teach us to number our days. That just simply means manage our time. Our life is short. The Lord doesn't return soon, death is sure. What's done for Christ must be done now. Can't be done yesterday, last year, last month. It can't be done tomorrow. It can't be done next month or next year. The only thing that we can do now is to serve God at this moment. And our loved ones depend upon our examples. Our loved ones depend upon us following the Lord. Our children depend upon us following the Lord, seeing and watching us serve Him in the present tense. How many people I've heard say, well, when I get everything in order, I'm going to do this. When I get everything just like it needs to be, then I'm going to do something for the Lord. They never do get it all in order. You know why? Because they mismanage the time. They just don't have time. We're to walk carefully. We're to live right. We're to live a life in obedience to the Holy Spirit as He leads us in the paths of righteousness for His sake. We are to redeem the time. We are to make the most out of every opportunity and to witness to the lost and tell people that Jesus saves. Solomon, that wise man that we've read from two or three times this morning, he came to a conclusion one day. Solomon had his problems. Solomon had his difficulties. Solomon had his sins. He had his wine, he had his wisdom, had his women, had his worldliness, had all those things. And he come to the conclusion of everything at the end of the book of Ecclesiastes. He says this: let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Pretty good wisdom. Now, Solomon didn't always do that, but he had come to a conclusion that he should. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Verse 14 says, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. God shall bring every secret thing. Everything that we have done in time, one day God will bring it back to us. So this morning I wonder, as the sands go through the hourglass and as our lives progress and go on, I wonder when we look back at it, I wonder what we will say. What will we see? Now all of us are old enough to look back because we have a past. From the young boy and girl in here to the oldest in here, we all have a past. We can look back. But I wonder as we get to the golden years, it's called. Boy, sometimes I told somebody, I said, man, these golden years are sort of rusty. The gold has tarnished. The body don't work and the mind don't work. The eyes don't see, the ears don't hear, and the mouth don't talk right and can't remember things, say wrong months and all that stuff. Those are part of the golden years. But when we get there, when we look back, what will we see? When we get to that point in life, when we look back and look at everything in our life, what will God reveal to us? For whether it be good or evil, God's going to bring it before us. And Solomon said, I'll tell you what, the best thing to do is fear God. The best thing to do is keep His commandments. And he said, oh, by the way, that's just the duty of man. For you see, God has put us here. And as that first song we sang, How Great Thou Art, when I consider all the things that He's done for me, the writer of that song said, I scarce can take it in. He sang there in that expression of song, he said, I just can't hardly contain everything God's done for me. And since He has done so much for us and has done so many things for us, the duty of man is that we fear God, keep His commandments. Now, if we fear God and we keep His commandments, we'll have a great past. Something to look back to. If we fear God, if we keep His commandments, we will have some works that have been performed. Not in order to save us, not to keep us saved, but that we just serve the Lord. Because I scarce can take in what He has done for me. This morning, every person in this auditorium, you have time. We've had time. We can be assured of that. We have all had our time. We are all having time right now. But that's as far as I can go. I cannot assure you that you will have time beyond this point. Oh, 10 seconds have gone by, I still got time. Oh, no, that's past time. Presence right now, and nothing in the future. And therefore, the Bible says we are to redeem. We're to measure, manage our time. Redeem the time, knowing that the days are evil. What are you going to do with your time this morning? If you're here without Christ, you're not a Christian. What are you going to do with this time, this opportunity? Why, it's about half gone now. I'm glad it's not all gone for my sake. 30 minutes has gone by. That's what's gone by on my watch. Time is fleeting. Now what are you going to do with this time right now, this moment, that God gives us opportunity to do something with our time? Let's stand together this morning.